Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you up to the 11 o'clock hour on this Saturday. This not cold Saturday. It's pretty decent weather out there on this Saturday, 10 a.m., February 7th, 2009. Call number is 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. And we enter this phase of the sporting calendar, which is, an absolute dead period for sports. You know, February is a rough month. I don't even count July. You know, people in the summertime are out and about. Nobody cares about what's on TV, what's on, you know, sporting television. And you're out, you're doing things, you're going to the movies and what have you, doing things of that nature. But February is a tough month. You know, you have the NBA. The NBA is an absolute marathon. Playoffs don't begin till middle of April. I know we've had some recent great regular season games or anticipated matchups with the Celtics, Lakers, and Cleveland, you know, with that whole ordeal. But for the most part, you don't get excited about the NBA until late March, April, early April. You know, college basketball is in the heat and is in, you know, coming down the stretch drive of their season. But again, tournament doesn't start till like the second week in March. It's just a rough period in sports. And the biggest thing about it is the NFL withdrawal. I mean, we've gone 25 weeks basically of NFL football preseason, preseason, regular season, postseason, and to not have an NFL game this weekend. Don't tell me that the Pro Bowl is an NFL game. The Pro Bowl, there should be no Pro Bowl, put it to you that way. So I don't even count that. To not have no real NFL game of significance is difficult. It's very difficult, but we'll try to make it through. But look towards the future, and put it this way. In March, when you get to March, you will have a run from March to early July of nonstop sporting action. I mean, that is a great period. That is probably the best period in all the during the year for sports. You have all the playoffs, the NCAA tournament, the Masters, and you have every sporting event. Even if you're a horse racing fan, Kentucky Derby, Preakness, Belmont, and whatever, you have more sports to watch and to talk about than you can ever even hope for. So just, you know, a few more weeks. February is a short month, and hopefully we can get through this dark period or this dead period of sports as far as being the month of February. A lot to do on this program, but despite that we have no NFL games, we'll still do the Super Bowl recap, talk about last weekend's Super Bowl game. We also have March Madness. We'll look back at the weekend college basketball, also look ahead for today's matchups We'll have NBA Beat. We'll make his return, and a lot to talk about in the NBA all of a sudden. That was a couple of these trade rumors. Of course, you had the big game in Beantown this past week. You know, some big things happening in New York. Not good if you're a New York Knicks fan, but that was definitely an exciting couple of days down at MSG. So, Also, we'll have top stories as well. So we have a lot to do on this program, on this recent latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Again, the call number is 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. If I have time, I will also talk about the Australian Open. I definitely think that if you're a tennis fan, you saw a changing of the guard as far as what happened down in Melbourne, and you also saw from a women's standpoint, Serena, you know, recapturing her form and her dominant form and getting back to where she belongs, and that's at the top of women's tennis. Just five minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, again taking you up to the 11 o'clock hour on the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. After this update, we'll be back with the Super Bowl recap. So that's coming up. That's coming up right after this update. This update, of course, is brought to you by fans who know a classic Super Bowl when they see one. And I'll get to that. And I will get to that after after the update. Todd Haley was introduced as new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Haley, of course, was the offensive coordinator for 2 years with the Super Bowl runner-up Arizona Cardinals. Haley comes from the Bill Parcells coaching tree. Started out with Parcells. He's been an assistant coach. He's been an assistant coach with the Cowboys, the Jets, just to name a few of the teams that he's been with. You know, Haley did a tremendous job with that offense. I know he had great talent with the two receivers and obviously a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. But that offense, with no running game, he got the most out of that offense. And that's a good job. That's a good job for Kansas, getting that Kansas City job. So Haley is the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. South Florida upsets Marquette in college basketball action last night, 57-56. Jesus Verdigio scores 21 points. Marquette had previously been unbeaten in the Big East Conference. They came to that game 9-0. South Florida is 8-14. There are about 10 different teams that I would have given you that could have beaten that I would have given you to beat Marquette first before South Florida. I mean, I saw that last night. I couldn't believe it. But South Florida pulls off the upset, 57-56. Former Redskins, former 49er, and former Oakland Raider Dana Stubblefield, who was the defensive player of the year back in 1997, and has been sentenced to 2 years probation for, of course, his role in the Valco doping case. Stubblefield, back in 03, tested positive for THG, but he did give up a number of names, including ex-players, trainers, and agents who were allegedly involved in the case. So I'm sure that lightened his sentence that much more as he turned over those names to the federal government and the NFL officials as well. Still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call, we'll have the NFL wrap-up, the Super Bowl wrap-up, also get a little sneak peek towards 2009. It's hard with the NFL. You can't go too far. We haven't gotten to free agency yet. We haven't gotten to the draft, so hard to predict what's going to happen even right before the season starts. But we'll try to do our best with that. And also, we still have Star of the Week. We have some powerhouse candidates this week for this week's Star of the Week. I mean, you're talking about some Hall of Fame, all-time great type talent on for the three candidates who are up for Star of the Week. NBA beat, and much, much more on the Saturday morning wake-up call. We're just getting started here. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Again, 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, last weekend you had the Super Bowl down in Tampa. Pittsburgh gets a sixth Super Bowl championship, the most in NFL history, as they defeat the Arizona Cardinals 27-23. Listen, I'm going to come right out and say it. This game, you had a great fourth quarter, a classic fourth quarter, and I emphasize fourth quarter. This was not a classic game. I mean, all of them hearing, you know, in newspapers and on TV and magazines, classic game. Tell me how a game that featured that about 18 penalties and three turnovers is a classic game. I mean, I talked to a number of people. I talked to at least four or five people who were down, who were dead on the game in the third quarter. When Pittsburgh was up 20-7, I mean, people were ready to turn the game off. People were, you know, playing Xbox, ready to, you know, get the NBA live season started. I mean, people were ready to go to sleep. That game, that's not a classic. A classic you watch throughout from the snap of the ball to the end of the, you know, to the when the gun goes off. You know, Buffalo, New York was a classic. It was with the Scott Norwood missed field goal. Tennessee, St. Louis a few years ago was a classic. Even Carolina, New England was a classic, and it had a great fourth quarter as well. This quarter was almost just as exciting, if not more exciting, than that fourth quarter. Between those two teams. This was not a classic Super Bowl. I would say that fourth quarter saved the Super Bowl. It made it a very good Super Bowl, and I'm glad it was competitive. But it was not a classic. Regardless of that, Arizona, Pittsburgh gets the win. Arizona really outplayed Pittsburgh when you look at it. They outgained them by over 100 yards, well over 100 yards from the line of scrimmage. They dominated. They had that great fourth quarter. It turns out that the turning point of this game was at 20-7 when Arizona stop Pittsburgh from getting into the end zone when it could have been 24-7. At 24-7, this game is over. At 24-7, you could have turned off the TV. I thought it was over at 20-7 and also at 10-0. But Arizona just fought back. Kurt Warner had another big time Super Bowl. Kurt Warner has the three highest passing totals in Super Bowl history: 414, 377, and 365. Had a huge second half. He was 31 for 43, 377 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. But that 1 interception turned out to be the difference in the game. On one of the great game-changing plays I've ever seen in a Super Bowl game, James Harrison intercepts Kurt Warner and goes 100 yards. And again, you're talking about a play where Pittsburgh's up 10-7. All the momentum is on Arizona's side. And at worst, they should have been 10-10 or 10-10 or even 10-7. Let's say they don't score. Let's say he throws an interception and James Harrison gets tackled. Okay, you miss out on some points, but at least you're only down 10-7. But that play was a huge play. I can't emphasize enough how big that play was. I think James Harrison he could have been even the MVP. They could have split the MVP award up in three different parts between him, himself, Ben Roethlisberger, and Santonio Holmes, because that play was just, that play was that big of a play. But regardless, Pittsburgh, Arizona was able to survive that play and have a great fourth quarter, hung in there with their defense. I thought Arizona's defense played much better than I thought it would, despite the fact that they did give up the game-winning touchdown drive to Ben Roethlisberger, who now has established himself as clearly, the third best quarterback in the league. He is in the Peyton Manning, in the Tom Brady class, without question. Those three are the three best quarterbacks in this league. Nobody else even approaches them right now. Roethlisberger wins his second Super Bowl. He's only 26 years old. He'll be 27 before the season starts. But, he had a John Elway, Johnny Unitas, Roger Staubach type drive with 2:37 left. You're down 23-20. All the momentum is in Arizona's favor. Your team has just blown the lead. That was a big-time drive. Of course, the officials missed the boat on the Santonio Holmes excessive celebration. That should have been a penalty, It would have been even 15 more yards. It would have been 15 yards on the kickoff, so they missed the boat with that one. But a great fourth quarter in that game. I mean, that game had everything you wanted to, going back and forth, two teams going at it in that fourth quarter. I give Arizona a lot of credit. They played very well. I thought Pittsburgh would win this game. I thought Pittsburgh would just run away with this game and say in the second half it would be close for a half or maybe three quarters and they would run away in the fourth quarter. But that was not the case. Arizona came all the way back. Larry Fitzgerald having a big second half, had a huge fourth quarter with the catches that he had. And Pittsburgh just was able to get their sixth Super Bowl. And I'm glad Pittsburgh won, as we have a caller who will take on the line right now. You're on the air.
Yo, Surreal, what up, man? I wasn't in the call today. This is D-Dot.
D-Dot, welcome to the program,
up,
man.
I was listening, and you made me upset, so I had to.
What's on your mind?
I agree with you when you said the Super Bowl was not one of the greatest. It was one of the greatest fourth quarter. I agree. But then here all you people go putting Roethlisberger and the Elways, the Tom Brady.
No, listen.
The whole game,
listen.
He stunk.
What game were you watching? He had the interception. He had the interception that wasn't his fault.
Who had a better game? Kurt Warner or him?
I say he had the better game because he took his team to win the game.
Listen. It was who had the ball last. He happened to have the ball last.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Now you're saying he's lucky, but now you say he's one of the top.
So he had the ball last. He is. He is one of the top three quarterbacks. He is one of the top three quarterbacks.
So
I would say Kurt Warner is top five. Kurt Warner, he's better than Kurt Warner. Let me tell you why he's better than Kurt Warner.
I'll let you speak. Go ahead.
Think about this. I think Kurt Warner is a Hall of Famer, and I give him a lot of credit for dragging that franchise to the Super Bowl. But think about the players that Kurt Warner has played with. Torrey Holt, going to the Hall of Fame. Isaac Bruce, going to the Hall of Fame. Marshall Faulk, going to the Hall of Fame. Orlando Pace, going to the Hall of Fame. He played with four other Hall of Famers with the Rams. Played great, but played with four other Hall of Famers. Anquan Boldin, potential Hall of Famer. Larry Fitzgerald, best receiver in the sport right now, arguably along with Randy Moss. If he stays healthy, he will be going to the Hall of Fame. He's played with super talent. I mean, Kurt Warner has played. So you have to take that.
Can I say something about that? Did he not leave the Rams? Did he leave the Rams?
Oh, no, they cut him. They cut him. They got rid of him.
Yeah, they got rid of him. Was Terry Holt still there? Yes, he was. Did he have the same numbers? No.
No. It's not. His numbers didn't fall off. His numbers did not fall off with Mark Mosier. His numbers did not fall off that much with Mark Mosier.
Not that much. It wasn't the same. It was not the same as the quarterback.
But Terry Holt. Terry Holt. Terry Holt.
I'm not going to say nothing from Ben. Listen. But he's a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over. I give him that. But
well, he had a big turnover before that happened again, which was the difference in the game. His interception was the difference in the game. That interception with James Harrison was the difference in that game. If he doesn't throw that interception, they win that. Arizona wins the Super Bowl if he doesn't throw that interception. That's a big turnover.
No, listen. I'm a coach. I coach kids, and I coach every sport. Arizona took the lead. The turnover does not matter anymore. You had to lead. The defense
in. No, it does matter. That does matter. It does matter.
You take the lead.
It does matter.
You cannot. No, it counts now because the game is over. But once they took
the lead
24-0, when they took the lead 24-20, if they win, are we talking about the interception? No, because they took the lead. The defense.
Well, they did take the lead, though. But you can't say if. They did. But they did take the lead, though.
That's what I'm saying. Arizona took the lead. The defense was supposed to make a stop.
But see, let's be honest with you about the defense, though. And their defense played as well as you can possibly hope it could have played. Yeah. They're not a good defense. You know, Arizona's defense wasn't that good coming into that game. The defense was ranked number 19 in NFL. They're not going to be able to stop anybody in a big spot for the most part in that game. Were you surprised when Pittsburgh went down the field and scored that game with a touchdown?
I wasn't surprised. I was unhappy.
I know exactly.
And that's my point too. What did Ben Roethlisberger do before that drive?
What did he do? I mean, he was putting up good numbers before that drive.
Like 190.
He started out. No, he started out that game. Let me tell you, he started out that game in the first quarter. It was like 8-9. He was driving them down the field.
What was the score at halftime?
17-7.
And what they had 10 points and one TD. What was a run? He had nothing, and Arizona was still in the game.
He's won more games at his age than any quarterback in history. Okay,
They have
one of the best defenses in the league, but he still has to go out there and make plays. All I know is,
turn the ball over. See, that's the difference.
Oh,
Listen, Pittsburgh can win a 10-0 game. They can win a 10-7 game. Why? Because they have defense. They don't need.
Let me tell you something. If he wouldn't have played the game that he played, we would be talking about Arizona Super Bowl champions. Pittsburgh's defense got lit up by Kurt Warner in that fourth quarter. They gave him over 400 yards of total offense. If Ben Roethlisberger did not play the game that he played, we're not having this conversation.
The MVP between three people because of one drive?
It was the whole game. It was the whole game he played well. When did he not play well throughout the course of that game?
What he did was not turn the ball over no more after the first interception. He didn't need no other drive. He led one drive.
He had drive to put points on the board.
He had 27 points. How many drives?
He only had 27 points.
How many drives did he lead for a touchdown? Two?
He had two drives and two field goals. That's all they need.
Thank you. He don't put the ball in the end because all he had to do is put him in field goal position because the defense can stop.
Let's be honest. Where's their running game exactly? Willie Parker has been injured all just about all season. The offensive line is bad.
If you name all the quarterbacks that had, even in Baltimore, I think him and Flacco are in the same position. All you have to do is, like you said, get field goals and don't turn the ball over because they can play D. Kurt Warner has to put the ball in the end zone. He has to.
Right. He had to put the ball in the end zone. Right.
Has to put the ball in the end zone. Peyton Manning has to put the ball in the end zone.
Tom Brady didn't have to put the ball in the end zone in the beginning of his career. The beginning of his career was about the New England defense. You and I know that. Watch some of the early Indianapolis games when they shut Peyton Manning down. That wasn't the case. That was not always the case.
Ben Roethlisberger. You say he's top three. You putting him
he's
above.
He's top three quarterback. Absolutely, he's top
three.
Quarter,
top three quarterback.
He's top three. Yes, behind no, behind Brady and behind Manny and Brady.
I can't knock him. He got two.
He got two. And look, and you want to talk about stats? You want to talk about these? These are where stats can be deceiving. You have Elway. Elway's quarterback rating, career quarterback rating, is like 85. The bottom line was he was clutch. Roethlisberger has more fourth quarter comebacks than any quarterback in the league since 2004. Okay, he's won more games than any quarterback in the league since he got into the league. So, like, and I think of two drives this year with him. Think of the drive that he to win the Super Bowl, and also think of the drive where he went down Baltimore's throat, 92 yards against the second best defense in the league, and led his team to a touchdown. That's what a quarterback is. It's not all just about the stats. Kurt Warner's stats look great, but at the end of the day, you got to make plays in the clutch when it counts, and that's what he did.
Who didn't do that? Kurt Warner did that. How many?
Kurt Warner played well, but he also made right. But he took. He gave up 7 points. Roethlisberger did not give up 7 points. Sometimes it's also about managing the game. It's just as important as sometimes winning the game.
I'm gonna give the coaching of Arizona a lot of respect because they did not force Larry Fitzgerald. They didn't force his hand the whole.
No, they did a good job. But man, look, I don't mean to cut you off, man. But I got a lot to get to, man. I appreciate it. Only one thing
I'm mad at all the Knicks fans who cheered for Kobe Bryant when I was at the game. That was the worst. I need my 1994 Knicks fans back. We do not cheer the opposing team.
You need your 1994 Knicks players back. Knock somebody on the floor. You don't let somebody get 61 to 52 points on your own court.
The coach too. The coach said he's not embarrassed.
He should be embarrassed.
He should be embarrassed. Let somebody score. Man, average, but I gotta go. I won't hold your show.
All right, man. Thanks for calling though.
No problem, man.
All right, take it easy.
One. Later.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is top three quarterbacks in the league. I mean, I don't. There's no question in my mind that he's top three quarterbacks in the league. But hey, that's the beauty of America. Everybody has their own opinion. The guy, he's a winner, and like I said, he's not a guy who's going to wow you with the stats. Pittsburgh quarterbacks are not built to be that way. They're built with the defense and their running game. But he's clutch, and that's all you want out of your quarterback. A guy who's going to make plays when it counts the most. So I think Pittsburgh will have an opportunity to win a championship next year because, number one, their schedule is not going to be as hard as it was this year. Pittsburgh went through a gauntlet, one of the toughest schedules I've ever seen an NFL team have to go through, and they still were able to go 15-4. And they still have room to improve with that offensive line. They also can get, you know, with that offensive line, defensively they're fine. They just have to manage it, trying to keep all those guys and keep all those guys in terms of the salary cap in that situation. So Pittsburgh will be right back there along with some of the other powerhouses like New England, Indianapolis, San Diego, and what have you, Baltimore, and the AFC. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, March Madness. Things are starting to heat up in the world of college basketball, also NBA beat, and our profiles in Black History Month. We're bringing that to the program for this month of February. Of course, we'll do that as well. That's coming up, and much, much more on the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 347-215-6180 is your call number. This update is brought to you by fans who know that the Lakers-Celtics rivalry is clearly the best in sports. Todd Haley was introduced as the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Haley, of course, was the former offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl run-up Arizona Cardinals. Haley was also worked with Bill Parcells and from that famous Bill Parcells coaching tree as well. UCF, University of South Florida, upsets Marquette 56-56. Jesus Verdigio scores 21 points for UCF, the Florida Bulls, and it was Marquette's first loss in Big East Conference play. Marquette also came to the game ranked number 8 in the country. Former 49er, former Defensive Player of the Year, Dana Stubblefield was sentenced to 2 years probation for his role in a Valco doping case. Stubblefield, back in 2003, tested positive for THG, but he also He also gave up some names as far as players, trainers, and agents to the feds and also NFL officials, and I'm certain that lightened the load of his sentence with him only getting 2 years probation. NBA scores. Indiana defeats Orlando 107-102. Danny Granger goes for 33 points. Boston gets back to his winning ways, 110-100 over the New York Knickerbockers. Paul Pierce, 26 points. Denver, 124-103 over the Wizards. Carmelo Anthony has 23 points. Atlanta, 102-97 over Charlotte. Marvin Williams has 29 points. New Orleans defeats Toronto 101-92. Jermaine O'Neal has 24 points. Other winners in the association include the Clippers, Utah, Phoenix, and Oklahoma City. March Madness and college basketball season starting to heat up. Earlier in the week, UConn just took apart Louisville at Freedom Hall, 68-51. Louisville came into the game ranked number 7, ranked, and was playing great basketball in their own right. But UConn, you know, who is, by the way, currently ranked number 1 in the country, is just they are so talented, and they like they play just suffocating defense. I mean, Hashim Thabeet is a is a block party in the middle. He doesn't have much offensive skill, but he is a great shot blocker. UConn might be the best team in the country. I think Carolina has the best talent. But UConn, you know, they have good guards. They have a lot of experience. They have guys who just play, you know, like I said, play that physical type of play. They can also get up and down the floor and score with some teams. Their defense is just suffocating. They could be the best team in the country right now. Certainly playing as well as any team in the country right now. They are 10-1 in the Big East Conference. They only lost coming surprisingly the way they're playing now to Georgetown, in one of the season openers back in late December. And now because of Marquette's loss, UConn will find themselves at top the Big East at 10-1. Some big upsets in the ACC this week. Clemson just manhandled Duke. I mean, 74-47. Clemson came in the game ranked 10th. Duke was number 3. And how about Duke? And, you know, I believe I said a couple of weeks ago that Duke was a championship caliber team that could win a national championship. Let me take that back. Can they get to a Final Four? Yes. Can they get to Elite Eight? Yes. They cannot win a championship. It's still the same Duke team that we've seen in the past 3 or 4 years. They're a little bit better, but they still have trouble with physical teams, and they still have trouble scoring when they can't shoot, when they cannot make 3-point shots. If you can hold Duke, say, 35% below the 3-point, 35% under as far as making threes, you have an excellent chance of beating them. They live by a three and die by a three. And Clemson just absolutely took them apart against 74-47. Also, an even bigger upset in my book, Miami of Florida just ran over Wake Forest, 79-52. I was shocked by this game. I was not shocked that Clemson beat Duke. I was shocked by the margin of victory, but I was not shocked by them winning. But I was shocked by Miami beating Wake Forest. Wake Forest have been playing great basketball over the course of the season. Have been, you know, the best team in the SEC up to that point, and Miami just ran all over them, 79-52. Also, Oklahoma continues to roll. They are ranked number 2 right now. They're 22-1, 8-0 in the Big 12 Conference. Kansas is a quiet 18-4 and 7-0 in the Big 12. Oklahoma, Kansas will meet on February 23rd. That will be a good showdown as we see how good Kansas is. And they will get that. It will be the acid test for them going up against a good Oklahoma team featuring probably the number 1 pick in the draft if he chooses to come out, is Blake Griffin. Big matchup. A good game today as far as Memphis at Gonzaga. Memphis is currently ranked 15. Gonzaga is ranked 18. So that would be interesting to watch those two teams go at it. Memphis, of course, coming off that national championship game appearance, and despite losing Chris Douglas Roberts and the likes of a Derrick Rose, and also Dozier, they still have a pretty good team. Kyle Perry is an excellent coach. He will always get the most out of the talent that he has. Still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call. We're halfway home, 30 minutes as we reach the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. We'll, of course, take you up to the 11 o'clock hour. NBA beat, a lot of things going on in the NBA. I have to admit, the NBA is more exciting this regular season than it has been in recent regular seasons. There's just been, you know, not there's not been too many dead weeks in the NBA. So a lot going on with that. We also still have our profiles in Black history and top stories as well. That is still to come on today's Saturday morning wake-up call. And I will get to the NBA beat after this sports update. Todd Haley was introduced as the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Haley, of course, is a former offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals who lost the Super Bowl to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Haley also is a coaching disciple of one Bill Parcells. South Florida upsets Marquette 57-56. Marquette came to that game undefeated in the Big East, but falls to the South Florida Bulls, who are now 8-14 in terms of their total record. Former 49ers Dana Stubblefield, who was the defensive player of the year back in 1997, has been sentenced to 2 years probation for his role in the Balco doping case. Stubblefield turned over evidence against ex-players, trainers, and also agents to the feds and to the NFL officials and for a lighter sentence. He tested positive back in 2003 for THG, and Stubblefield now, again, will be sentenced to 2 years probation, and I'm sure that him turning in that information lightened that blow as far as his sentence goes. NBA scores: Indiana defeats Orlando 107-102. Boston defeats New York 110-100. Denver smashes the Wizards 124-103. Atlanta defeats Charlotte 102-97. New Orleans defeats Toronto 101-92. Other winners in the association include the Clippers, Utah, Phoenix, and Oklahoma City. NBA beat, after a 2 week hiatus, returns, and we might as well start in Beantown. What a game. The game of the year took place on Thursday night as the Lakers defeated the Celtics in overtime, 110-109. You know, the Lakers have played in by the two best games I've seen this year as far as regular season goes have involved the Lakers. They lost one of them to San Antonio in that great game with the Roger Mason shot at the end, the 112-111 game. That's played at the highest level I've seen a game all season long. And this game was great as well. I mean, minus the officiating, which was awful. I mean, Kevin Garnett cannot foul out for an offensive foul to Derek Fisher. That was a ridiculous call, and the official should have swallowed the whistle at that point. But it was a tremendous game. I mean, you see these two teams go back and forth. It looked like Boston was going to run away at a couple points in the second half. And I normally don't make too much of regular season games, but this was a huge win for the Lakers. And I think I walked away from this game thinking that the Lakers are probably a little bit better than the Celtics with a healthy Andrew Bynum. That's the key. If Andrew Bynum can get back and be close to where he was before the injury, I think the Lakers are the best team. I really do. That game, you know, Boston, you know, the Lakers did not play a great game. They missed a bunch of free throws. Kobe was 10 for 29 despite knocking down some big-time three-pointers and down the stretch of that game that kept the Lakers in that game. I did not expect the Lakers to win this particular game. It was on there. They're on a long road trip. It would have been their third game in four nights. Bynum, of course, no Andrew Bynum. Kevin Garnett had returned. So that was a big-time win. Right as we stand right now, the Lakers have the best record in basketball at 40-9. Cleveland is at 39-9. And Boston, with their win last night, is at 42-10. And when you look at the big three, and it's still the big three, Boston, L.A., Cleveland, the question is, which one of those teams is going to make a big trade in order to get better? Lakers have, of course, you know, an expiring contract and the Lamar Odom that he could deal. Cleveland has Eric Snow, who, despite the fact that he's not playing, is still on the Cleveland roster. And also, Wally Szczerbiak, they could deal him for a big man possibly. And Boston needs to get deeper. I mean, Boston's bench is not what it once was, what it was last year when you had guys like James Posey and P.J. Brown with that veteran leadership coming off the bench. They need, as currently constructed, they need somebody to come off the bench, and they need some additional firepower off the bench. There's certainly rumors about Stephon Marbury joining the mix. I don't know if that's the move to make. I understand that Garnett, Allen, and Pierce are all on board for it, but I'll be very careful with that one if I'm Danny Ainge. So that's definitely a big question. The Lakers-Boston game was the highest rated TNT game in over 13 years. You got to go back to when the Lakers played the Bulls. That was, of course, the game where Magic Johnson made his return from his from about a 3 or 4 year retirement. That was when the Bulls were at, you know, were on their way to win 72 games. Rodman, Jordan Rodman and Pippen. That was previously the highest rated game. But this game, I'm sure a lot of people were watching this game. You know, Thursday night, you know, cold outside, and it was just a tremendous basketball game to watch and played at, you know, relatively high level. A couple of things going on in the NBA. Of course, this week you had two just all-world performances at Madison Square Garden with Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. Kobe Bryant breaks Menard King's record of 60 points, scored 61 points, going 19 for 31, 20 for 20 from the line, and to lead the Lakers to the 126-117 win. Then two nights later, you got LeBron James getting a near triple-double. It turned out it was rescinded yesterday by the NBA as they credited Ben Wallace with the rebound instead of James. Regardless of that, he's still 52 points, 11 assists, and 9 rebounds. There's been much debate on which performance was the best. I'll keep it short and sweet. I thought Kobe Bryant's performance was better based on the fact that, you know, the Lakers had just lost Andrew Bynum. It was more psychological than anything, you know, to show the team that, hey, we're still a legitimate championship contender. After they lost Bynum, he came out of his mouth and said, hey, we still can win a championship. So I think he showed great leadership. He scored 61 points on 31 shots. I mean, that was huge. Shot over 61% from the field. And then some of the shots he made was just ridiculous. I mean, the jump shot, they were just basically almost all jump shots. He had a couple of dunks, a couple of layups. But they were just all jump shots. Most of them were just jump shots. And I also had to look at the defensive end of the floor. One thing I had not heard in regards to LeBron James' performance, which, again, was all-world, tremendous performance, Al Harrington had 39 points in that game against LeBron James. I have not heard that aspect. You have to include, if we don't include the entire performance, you have to go both offense and defensively. Don't just look at what he did offensively, but look at the defense as well. I don't remember hearing who did what against Kobe Bryant as far as, you know, what his man scored. But Al Harrington had 39 points against LeBron James. But, you know, it still was a tremendous performance with that said. A couple of big games this week, a couple of injuries to know. Of course, you all know about Andrew Bynum being out 8 to 12 weeks with a torn MCL. It's not as bad as it was last year when he had to when he broke his kneecap and had to, you know, miss the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. No surgery is required. He should be back like a week or two before the regular season. So that certainly great news for Laker fans. Chris Paul is out right now with a groin injury, which doesn't look to be that serious. He's missed the last couple of games. He should be back. He should be back before the All-Star break. Big injury in Orlando. Jameer Nelson, I felt terrible considering the kind of season that he had, was having All-Star, had really taken Orlando to another level, and had been the difference between them, you know, making them a pretty good team to a very good team. He goes out with a torn labrum. He's probably going to be out for the rest of the season. They're looking into it. He's looking into other options now. I mean, if he does have surgery, his season's over, but he's still looking for second and third opinions. So just terrible. That's awful. Awful. That was awful to see. And I really feel bad for Jameer Nelson as he was having a tremendous season. Big-time doubleheader. You won't find a better doubleheader in regards to the NBA tomorrow. San Antonio travels to Boston. You will see the last two NBA championships go at it. And, of course, the showdown in Cleveland. The Lakers finish trying to cap off a perfect road trip as they travel down to Cleveland to take on, of course, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who, by the way, have not lost a home game this season. They are 23-0 at home. No team in NBA history has ever went undefeated at home, so that should be a classic game. The Lakers will have plenty of rest. They will have 2 days off before that game. That's going to be a high-level game. I can tell you that right now, especially with everything that has happened this week with Kobe and LeBron James' performances. Still to come on the Cyril Quinn on this Saturday morning wake-up call. I am your host, Cyril Quinn, just 39 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour. The call number is 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. We'll have our Black History profile and also top stories of the week. That is still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call. We'll be right back with Star of the Week. Sports update, Ty Haley has been introduced as new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Haley is, of course, the former offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl runner-up Arizona Cardinals. UCF, upsets Marquette 57-56. Marquette was previously unbeaten in the Big East Conference. They now fall to 20-3 on the season. Former Defensive Player of the Year, Dana Stubblefield, was sentenced to 2 years probation for his role in the Balco doping case. Stubblefield, of course, tested positive for THG back in 2003, but gave up the names of players, trainers, and agents to the federal government, also NFL officials. NBA scores, Indiana defeats Orlando 107-102. Boston over New York 110-100. Denver all over the Wizards 124-103. Atlanta gets by Charlotte 102-97. And New Orleans takes out Toronto 101-92. Other winners in the association include the Clippers, Utah, Phoenix, and Oklahoma City as well. Coming up on the Saturday morning wake-up call, we will profile Jack Johnson, who was one of the first heavyweight champions in history. Jack Johnson will be our Black History Month profile, and I'm going through people with a profile, and it came to me, and I'm just flipping channels, and I happen to see a promotion for a Ken Burns program that was talking about Jack Johnson. I did not get to see that particular program. I've heard that it was a great program to watch on PBS, documentary on Jack Johnson and his life. Jack Johnson was a bad man. I mean, he was the first Black heavyweight champion of the world. The guy, you're talking about from 1908 to 1915, he held the heavyweight championship of the world. The guy fought 124 total fights. His record was 89-2, 12 draws, and had 9 no contests, which was that a win, a loss? I don't understand that particular stat. But he, was heavyweight champion of the world and was a very controversial figure back in that time. He's a guy who, I just come out and say it. I mean, he dated white women, which in that particular time was something that you just didn't do as a black man. I mean, of course, now, no big deal, whatever. Interracial dating and marriages are on the regular or as normal as possible. But back then, I mean, that was not the thing to do. And he did it. He wasn't trying to hide it. He was not trying to hide it. I mean, here's a guy who went to jail. And this, when I read this, I was blown away. He married a prostitute. Okay, he married a prostitute. He went to jail. He did a year in prison. And I mean, this guy, you talk about living a fool. You talk about getting your money's worth out of a life. This guy got his money's worth. He was sent. He did a year in prison for. I'm reading it right to you. He did a year in prison for transporting women across state lines for immoral purposes. That is the United States Penitentiary. That's the exact quote. Here's a guy who opened a nightclub in Harlem in 1920 and sold it to a gangster. After 3 years later, a gangster by the name of O.E. Madden, who, and I did not know this as well, renamed it the Cotton Club. So Jack Johnson was the original owner of the Cotton Club. And, of course, the Cotton Club has been, world famous club. I mean, there's very movies about the Cotton Club. I mean, Francis Ford Coppola's movie, The Cotton Club, Hoodlum with Lawrence Fishburne, talked about the Cotton Club and Buffy Johnson. Anybody in Harlem, of course, knows that very well. I mean, the guy, again, he did what he wanted to do. He did what he wanted to do. There was also a movie loosely made about his life back in 1970 starring James Earl Jones called The Great White Hope. Very good movie. I definitely would recommend seeing it. James Earl Jones was a powerful performance by him, and that was loosely based on Jack Johnson. As James, if you watch the movie, not to give anything away, but this is not a big thing to give away. I'm not, it's not a mystery or anything. that Jane Alexander, who played his love interest in the movie, is white. So that kind of, you know, went along with what Jack Johnson did during his career and during his life. He died at the age of 68 back in 1946, and again, he's in every voted really the first great heavyweight guys have tried to pattern their styles after him. Muhammad Ali thinks highly of him in the body. He's in every boxing Hall of Fame that there can be, and was certainly one of the best heavyweights of his or any generation for that matter. And the guy, I mean, the guy was, you know, he, I mean, 124 fights. He had fights where he fought 20 rounds or more. He beat everybody that you could beat. So I think, you know, and he's forgotten because it was such a long time ago. I mean, you're talking about the early 1900s. So it's easy, unless you're Burt Sugar or a boxing historian, it would be easy to forget about a guy like Jack Johnson. So he's the first of our Black History profiles. Again, for the next two to three weeks, we will have a profile in Black History. I think it's very important to honor those who have come before us. Still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call, top stories, a lot to talk about. Anybody hear about Michael Phelps or Barry Bonds? Did we get enough of those two guys for the next 10 years? So a lot to talk about with those two guys on top stories. And that's still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call. The call number is 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. Todd Haley was introduced as the new head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Haley, of course, was a former offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals for the last 2 years. South Florida upsets number 8 Marquette 57-56. Marquette was previously unbeaten in the Big East Conference. They now fall to 9-1. Former Defensive Player of the Year Dana Stubblefield was sentenced to 2 years probation for his role in a bout in the Balco doping case. Stubblefield tested positive for THG back in 2003, but he also gave up the names of players, trainers, and agents to the federal government and also NFL officials. NBA scores: Indiana defeats Orlando 107-102. Boston gets back to on the winning track 110-100. Denver all over Washington 124-103. Atlanta edges Charlotte 102-97. New Orleans gets by Toronto 101-92. Other winners in the association include the Clippers, Utah, Phoenix, and Oklahoma City as well. Star of the week. We have three powerhouse candidates. Number one, Kobe Bryant, had 61 points in the Garden, broke Bernard King's record for scoring in the Madison Square Garden. Had 61 points on 19 of 31 shooting, 20 for 20 from the line, and a 126-117 win against the New York Knicks. Most of those shots were jump shots, and just ridiculously tough jump shots. LeBron James had 53 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds, 17 of 33 from the field, and leading the Cleveland Cavaliers to a 107-102 victory against, those great defensive Knicks. And Pat Summitt notched her 1,000th win as the University of Tennessee women's basketball coach with Tennessee defeat just killed Georgia 73-43. More wins than any women's. She has more wins, of course, than any coach in college basketball history, man or woman. Has more wins than any women's Division I program combined in women's basketball. Just think about that. I mean, that is just ridiculous. And she is our star of the week. I will take her career as a whole over two great individual nights as far as LeBron James and Kobe Bryant goes. I think Pat Summitt is one of the greatest coaches of all time in any sport. I truly believe that she can coach men's basketball and that she can coach NBA basketball. She is that great of a coach. Top stories: Michael Phelps, the Sportsman of the Year, of course, was suspended by USA Swimming for 3 months for his marijuana smoking binge. earlier this week, he was, of course, smoking marijuana from a bong. Kellogg's has already dropped him. Most of the sponsors are keeping him, but Kellogg's was the one that dropped him. South Carolina police are also considering charging him for that. I don't know when these guys are going to learn. I really don't. I mean, he has a photo. It was a photo of him smoking from a bong he was at a party with some friends or friends of friends. That's what I'm thinking it was, some friends of friends. I mean, there's no real friend would take a picture of you and put it on the internet or post it for everybody in the whole world to see. But regardless of that, I mean, you're Michael Phelps. I mean, geez, you gotta be smarter than that. You are Michael Phelps. You are one of the most famous faces in the world right now, and you're at a party smoking marijuana from a bong. And I like the interview they had. I like the interview that they did with him yesterday, a local interview by a Baltimore TV news reporter who, I don't know whether she was a news reporter or his mother, you know, because she asked the question, what were you thinking? Like, hello, you know, when you're smoking weed, it's hard to rationalize anything when you're smoking weed, okay? And I'll be the first to admit, I have smoked weed before in my life. Okay, I'm not gonna say it's gonna be like I'm Saint Christopher. So when you're doing that, you're not thinking rationally when you're smoking weed. So I'm sure he was, in his own. He was in another world. He was in the zone. So she asked the question. You know, what were you thinking? Like I said, I didn't know whether it was she was a news reporter or his mother asking the question. And again, Phelps, I don't know. You know, a 3-month suspension is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. He's rich beyond, you know, he has enough money. And it seems like most of the sponsors will keep him. But this is, again, another case where this would make our transition easier from the NFL. You know, when you have athletes do just moronic things like this. This will give you something to talk about and give you something to chew on for the dead month of February, I'll tell you that. Barry Bonds was back in the news this week, right, if he's ever left the news. Evidence might be tossed out from 2001 positive drug test. He had three positive drug tests during that period. And the thing is, what did I tell you last week? Unless Greg Anderson testifies against Barry Bonds, the government does not have anything. The judge is considering throwing out that particular evidence because there's no link between those drug tests and Barry Bonds. There's no way to prove that those drug tests are legitimate. I mean, your sources are, you have one source, he said versus, you know, his word versus another person's word. And then you have a guy who's a business manager, Steve Hoskins, who recorded a conversation between himself and Greg Anderson, and where Greg Anderson says that he gave that he injected Barry Bonds with steroids. But the problem with that is Hoskins may take the conversation without Greg Anderson knowing it. I don't know if that's not going to hold up in court. And even Victor Conti, who was the former founder of, course, Balco, which got taken down for producing steroids, even Victor Conti says that the tests and samples are not reliable based on the people who allegedly took the samples from Bonds. So again, the government does not have a leg to stand on right now. They don't. I mean, they're going to need Greg Anderson to testify. And Greg Anderson, based on what his attorney is saying, has no intentions whatsoever of testifying against Barry Bonds. None. And, Bonds knows what he's. I give Bonds a lot of credit for his attorneys. They know what they're doing. They clearly know what they're doing because they're making right now. They are making fools out of the federal government. And if you're the federal government, if your biggest carrot was Greg Anderson, if your whole case was centered around Greg Anderson testifying, then shame on you. To me, if I'm building a case, that would have been a bonus. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't have enough evidence beyond Greg Anderson's testimony, then you really didn't have a case. So again, the court date, the trial is scheduled to start March 2nd, and right now, I'll have to say, advantage Bonds right now. In other baseball news, Manny Ramirez turns down a 1-year contract from the Dodgers worth 1 year for $25 million. The Dodgers have not ruled out still trying to sign Manny Ramirez, but here's the bottom line. He's not getting a multi-year deal from anybody. He should have took the deal. He had a deal on the table back on election night, whatever, from the Dodgers at 2 years, basically $37 million guaranteed for the first 2 years, had an option, a team option in 2011, where had they chose to exercise their option, he would have got $22.5 million. Had they not chose to exercise their option, he gets $7.5 million. Either way, he comes out like a bandit. The total amount of that contract could have been worth up to $60 million. Nobody is knocking down the door of Manny Ramirez right now. That's all there is to it. Even the San Francisco Giants, who have shown some interest, even say that they will not give him more than a one-year contract. And this is a case where Scott Boras clearly overplayed his hand, big time. And normally Scott Boras does not overplay his hand when it comes to his clients. He normally has been one of the best agents in baseball, one of the toughest to deal with, certainly if you're an owner or a general manager of a particular baseball team. But the bottom line is he gets his clients the most money, and you cannot argue or debate that. But with Manny Ramirez, this economy, you know, 37 years old, nobody's trying to play a 40-year-old guy, $20 million. I think he's probably going to end up with the Dodgers. I think that he will probably, you know, they might work something out where he has a 2-year deal with 1-year guarantee, second year option. He should have took the 2 years guaranteed a third year option. How he ever thought, or him and he and Scott Boras ever thought that they were going to get a 4 or 5 year contract is beyond me. But evidently they did think they would get that, as you know, they have just thrown away millions and millions of dollars as far as the money that he could have had. Also, before we close out the program, again, you can still chime in at 347-215-6180. You saw a changing of the guard at the Australian Open last week. Rafael Nadal is clearly now the best player in the world. He beat Roger Federer in another great match, 5 sets. Devastating loss to Roger Federer. I mean, Nadal was coming off a match with Verdasco where he had played over 5 hours and 14 minutes, which was the longest match in Australian Open tennis history. Did not have a lot of time to recover. And you could tell Nadal was not 100% that match physically, as far as his movement, but he still was able to find himself and get himself through that match. And it's psychological with the Nadal and Federer. I mean, his skill does not – if you ask me who I would rather be as far as a tennis player, whose skill I would rather have, I still would take Federer's skill. But mentally, he does not even compare to Rafael Nadal. He doesn't even compare. And I thought, you know, Federer realized that, you know, his time as number one player is over. That's why you got the tears in the post-game, the post-match ceremony. And he might not get the Pete Sampras' record. He probably will, but who knows right now, right? Because right now he cannot beat that guy in a big spot. And they all absolutely owns him. Serena Williams reclaims number one with her destruction of Denaria Safina. And listen, when she's on, there's nobody better. She wins her 10th Grand Slam. She's back. I mean, she's all the way back now. She's won back-to-back Grand Slams and been now in 3 straight Grand Slam finals, going back to Wimbledon last year. She's also a sister, Coach Venus, won the U.S. Open, and, of course, wins the Australian Open. And, listen, who knows how many more Grand Slams she's going to win. Nobody, like I said, nobody approaches her right now with Justine Henin retirement and Sharapova being in and out as far as her focus, and which I don't hear anybody talking about that. You know, when Williams sisters, you know, are in and out, people, you know, want to rip them and say, well, are they committed? But well, how about Maria Sharapova? But, you know, with that said, Serena Williams is clearly now the dominant woman, the dominant player in all of tennis, and she can stay there as long as she wants. I mean, she's by far and away the best hard court player. She's also able to play on clay and grass, great on grass as well. If not for Venus, she would have more titles, more Wimbledon championships. So I'll be very interested to see the rest of the tennis year with her and who can challenge her. Good program. Thank you for the listening. Thank you for the listeners' phone calls. D Dot, definitely listen to D Dot from Monday through Thursday, from state hostings from 6 to 7 PM so on blogtalkradio.com. He does a great job, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to talk about coming off the the Grammys. The Grammys this week or next week. Either way, you'll have a lot to talk about, whether they're this week or next week. And there you go. You have the Grammys. You have the Oscars in a couple of weeks. So, sports fans, you can kind of delve away from the sporting world and go entertainment if you want to. You know, entertainment with those two particular awards. You know, Mickey Rourke and John Legend. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'll see you next week on the Saturday morning wake up call. Have a great week. So long.